Good afternoon and welcome to a special Black Friday edition of the Noon Report. I'm your host, Brandon Dixon. Today, the Family Life News Team takes a look at another holiday season of uncertainty. Last year, it was all about COVID. From death, illness, job loss, and shutdowns, it was a Thanksgiving and Christmas like we've never seen before. This time, it's inflation, a supply chain crisis, and staffing shortages that are continuing to stoke concerns this Christmas. Shipping delays, empty store shelves, and rising prices might mean a more lean Advent season this year. But Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Family Life's Bob Price sat down with Christian financial planner Paul Selich of Honeyoye Falls, New York, who tells us when the times get tough, it's a good time to learn how to live on a budget.
You know, the holiday season is coming up, and this is going to be unlike any we've ever experienced before. Last year, of course, we had COVID full-blown. Most of us didn't even celebrate with our families. But this year is something different. This year, we go into stores, and a lot of times, what we want isn't there. We go to fill up the gas tank, and we find all of a sudden it's 20, 30 bucks more than it was last year. These are lean times. Inflation is now outpacing wage growth in this country, and it's causing a lot of people to take a closer look at their bottom line. If you would, first of all, just talk to those listeners out there who are struggling to make ends meet and how they can get through this holiday season with as less stress as possible.
Well, my wife and I have a saying, and you know, at our age, we've been around a long time. We say you can't outgive God. So your first and foremost loyalty must be to the Lord's work. And the best thing you can do to free yourself from the want and the desires that you have is to write a 10% check. So I'm a firm believer in tithing.
Yeah, and you know, that what you said about you can't outgive God, that whole premise in Matthew about seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added unto you, but you got to seek him first. Last year, Paul, it was toilet paper, and we joke about that. And this year, you know, we all see those cargo ships off the coast of California, over 150 of them, with all my cleaning supplies are out there on those ships because I go to four different stores and I can't find what I need. And a lot of people are starting to notice. It's not everywhere, and none of us are going to starve to death here, we hope. But we're starting to see bare store shelves, and this is new to us. Yep. I mean, this brings back thoughts of some of us are old enough to remember the rationing days of Jimmy Carter when he was in office. How do we avoid panic buying around the holidays when materialism is everywhere?
Well, the first thing you need to do is understand where your blessings come from. Your blessings don't come from Wegmans or Tops or Best Buy or TJ Maxx. Your blessing comes from the Lord. And I think we need to do a better job of Christians at seeking scripture and prayerfully seeking wisdom from the Lord before we go crazy with our buying sprees.
And one other thing we want to talk about, you mentioned earlier talking about a budget, and you know, my wife and I just sat down the other night and looked at our monthly credit card bill, and it was eye-opening. I mean, I could not believe just since August how much. There is nothing on sale these days. It cost me over $60 to fill up my car. That hasn't happened in over a decade. Everybody goes to restaurants now, and they find out what used to feed a family of four now feeds a family of two. Everything is costing more. Why is it so hard, and what are some practical things we can do as families here to learn to get back to some basic money management and living on a budget?
Well, I think the first thing you need to do is just what you said about your wife and you. You actually analyzed your spending, right? And when you have a credit card, you can see that in reality. And you really need to prayerfully consider what you're spending money on, right? What may be a necessity 2 years ago is now a discretionary item. So we really need to do that. I think we need to, it's almost like going on a diet. You know, the first couple of days hurt you or change your mentality. But once you get into it, this can be a positive thing for us. It's really coming back to what does God want us here for, right? God doesn't want us here to be millionaires. Yeah. God wants us here to serve the kingdom. If we approach a life with that, we're going to be a lot more content.
As you and I are talking today, Paul, this is airing on Black Friday, one of the busiest days of the year for shopping. And I just drive by those malls and laugh as I see these people out there just stressing over all the stuff, the Christmas stuff that'll end up in the garbage the next month. And I just say to myself, why? You know, why do we do this to ourselves? Maybe there's a silver lining here in learning to live with less.
Well, what I counsel our clients, you know, we've helped thousands of families over the last 18 years. What I counsel clients is, don't look at your stock market or don't look at your mutual funds. Don't look at your retirement and say, hey, I've got all this money set aside. Because I've seen a day back in 1995 and 2000 where the market lost literally 20-30% overnight.
Yeah.
People look at their, just like you and you said, you and your wife looked at your check, your credit card bill. People look at their retirement and their investments. That's all transitory. And when you place your faith in that and not in, you know, in the Lord Jesus, you could be in for a shock.
Yeah.
So, you know, live within your means. That's the best thing you can do.
What's the one big piece of advice, the one thing you would leave with our listeners who are really, I mean, if we're just honest, a lot of us are stressing out right now, pinching pennies. You know, we are looking, I tell people now, and I go through the restaurant drive-through, I'm literally going through my penny jar looking for pennies because of how much things cost these days. What's the one thing you would say as people of faith, and I think you've kind of hinted at it throughout this interview, to give us peace, which should be the most peaceful time of the year, but it's not, but will give us peace in these uncertain times?
Well, what I've learned is understand that God's got a plan for your life. And he really does. And if you don't seek him, that's shame on you.
Yeah.
But if you seek him and try to really assess what his plan is for your life, he'll give you wisdom. Yeah. And God can provide the honor and the increase. You know, you don't have to depend on man. That's such an important facet of our life as Christians.
Another thing we can do this year, invest in our own communities. After nearly 2 years of pandemic pains, small businesses in our area could use more customers, and tomorrow is one of the perfect times to pop in to the mom-and-pop stores instead of buying from those big-box retailers. Our Tracy Woolsey discusses Small Business Saturday with Fred Gaffney, president of the Columbia Montour Chamber of Commerce in Bloomsburg, PA.
Small Business Saturday was an initiative started by American Express, the credit card company, back in 2010 to really highlight the importance of supporting small businesses and to try to help people find small businesses during the holiday shopping season. And Small Business Saturday is the Saturday after Thanksgiving every year.
Fred, how is the supply chain crisis impacting local businesses in the Bloomsburg area?
Well, every size and type of business is really impacted by supply chain. I've heard it from our downtown shops that if they can get product, the cost has gone up significantly. Shipping costs have increased significantly. So, some retailers, particularly those in specialty industries, have had real trouble getting product. And for the rest of them, their costs have gone up and time has been extended for getting things in some cases.
Yeah, a challenge all over the nation, all over the world. Why is this especially a good time to shift from buying from big online retailers to instead invest in the mom and pop stores?
A couple of reasons. One, it's really important to try to keep a base of local businesses in your community. Not only do they provide local jobs, but tax base as well. And, you know, they support a lot of great community causes like youth sports or nonprofit organizations, a wide variety of causes, again, that are really supported and maintained by local businesses. But from a practical standpoint for the shopper, for the holiday buyer, when you go into a local shop and you see something on the shelf, you know you're going to be able to get it right then versus ordering something online and being uncertain about supply and certainly shipping times. So at the very least, folks should not wait till the last minute, whether you're doing it in person or online.
Yeah, and I guess it's also impacting those retailers that are local that maybe provide services, not necessarily items, but services.
Sure, there's more time involved in getting things taken care of, especially with worker shortages. So also keep in mind, and we'd ask shoppers to try to be patient. You've certainly seen it with local restaurants, but small businesses are dealing with it too, with staffing shortages. And so those small business owners, many of them are working the store as much as they ever have to try to keep up with their clients' demands.
Great, Fred. How else can we show patience and kindness to workers during these staff and supply shortages?
Well, give yourself extra time, whether it's going out to eat or giving yourself time to run some errands. Keep in mind there are likely to be longer wait times, longer lines, and you know a lot of those folks are really stretched as well. They've been working a lot of extra time. So just try to keep that in mind whenever you're having a retail experience, whether it be a restaurant or in a store.
Yeah, excellent. So, Fred, would you speak to the benefits of purchasing local from the perspective of local artisans?
Sure. So keep in mind that there are a lot of opportunities for really unique gifts by shopping with local artisans. And that could be, you know, things you think of as traditional artworks, paintings, sculptures, pottery ware, things like that, but also custom woodwork. I know I had some nice custom woodwork done for my wife and she really enjoyed it. So that provides opportunities for really customized gifts that you've put some time and consideration into. Again, it supports your local economy. It supports local artisans by strengthening their livelihood. So it's another way to think outside the box with regard to holiday giving.
Yeah, you can buy a great gift and also support your neighbor.
Sure.
So, Fred, is there anything else you'd like to share, maybe even about possibly simplifying some of our celebrations this Christmas?
People are certainly anxious to get out and celebrate the holiday season, but they're, you know, obviously wary about COVID numbers. So there are a lot of outdoor events that people are taking advantage of during the holiday season this year, which I think will be very popular. And, you know, just think about that being smart going into the holiday season. We want to go in the right direction with regard to COVID numbers. So we're asking folks to be smart, use safe practices so that we can continue to make improvements as we get into 2022.
The item shortages and shipping delays this year also gives us a chance to shift our focus from buying to serving. After all, Jesus tells us in Acts, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Family Life's Bill Price spoke with Kathy Culver from Jamestown, New York. She's a volunteer with Blue Star Mothers who helps put together care packages around the holidays for our troops overseas.
You work with Blue Star Mothers. Tell us what you do and why you do it.
Blue Star Mothers are mothers of active duty or past military who have served actively in our military. So we never want to become the gold star mothers. The gold star mothers are those who have lost a child in a time of war. So we Blue Star Mothers do a lot to support the gold star mothers. But what I would like to focus on right now is that we do a lot to support our active duty military, and especially those who are not going to be home during the holidays. So every Christmas, we're able to send usually right around 1,000 care packages, and they don't have to be people that we know personally. They don't have to be local men and women. They just have to be men and women that we're pretty sure we have an accurate address for. And oftentimes we'll send maybe to one person, we'll send maybe 30 care packages because they certainly have people in their platoons or battalions who will not be receiving anything for Christmas. So every year we do a big Christmas drive and we put out little cutely decorated boxes into different businesses, schools, banks, and we just encourage people, and we have a list of recommended items, and we just encourage people to just pick up a few of these extra items and bring them and drop them in the box.
Yeah.
But we also really recommend that they write cards and letters.
Yeah.
Because those are really some of the favorite things.
This is probably a year where it might be easier to seek out people to help you out because of, you know, things just cost a whole lot more now. I mean, I was out shopping around. My jaw dropped looking at some of the prices for mm-hmm. things. But I think it's really shifted the focus off of buying and onto giving. This holiday season, I think, I hope that people like you will get help in what you do. But how does it make you feel, Kathy, to be able to help out these families of our war heroes?
Obviously, it feels really great to know that we're going to impact somebody with really the true meaning of Christmas, which is a spirit of giving and not of receiving. And oftentimes, the messages that go into those boxes are even more important than the physical items that go into those boxes. So that's why we really encourage people to write those letters. Everybody can write a little card or a little note and just say, you know, we're thinking of you. We appreciate your service, what you are doing for us and for our communities and for our nation. And we do welcome people to come and join us as we pack these boxes. So we have a big event. It's open to the community. Last year, we were not able to open it to the community. We had by invitation only, but we still pulled it off. But this year, we're able to open up again.
The stories of the lives that you impact and just the people that you touch must be countless. Do you have one that kind of sticks out in your mind where you really impacted someone through what you do?
We often receive word back from the military people that how they got these boxes and how they impacted them. So one was a man who was in a very remote mountain in Iraq, and he had no idea how these boxes even got to him. But because we know people who are stationed there, and then they can airdrop them to their other folks who are in the more remote areas. And this was several years back, but this particular man was high up ranking official, and he received these care packages in Iraq. So the Iraqis were totally just dumbfounded. Like, why would people send you care packages? Like, your people actually support you like that? And so this man was able to explain to the nationals what Christmas is all about, what it is to be supported by fellow patriots back at home. And so they sent back pictures of these men just opening these boxes, and their eyes were like you would expect on Christmas morning with a child. And they would get a bag of Skittles, and they were just like so just blown away that somebody would care enough to send these things to them.
Tell us why it's so important to think of others, especially this time of year.
Yeah, so I don't think it's any surprise that our military are really downtrodden right now. They're really often confused. They don't really know where they're going or what their mission is. And they sense, you know, the chaos that's kind of enveloping all of us right now. So it's really important for them to know that they are being remembered, they're being supported, they're being prayed for, and that we're going to take the time to send these notes of encouragement, and along with some physical items if possible, just to let the military know how much we appreciate what they're doing for us. They are the ones that stand firm when the rest of us are just feeling like we're not really sure what's happening. And they often themselves are a little unsure of things. So they need to be encouraged. They're away from their families. You know, they're away from their loved ones during a really, really stressful time.
Additionally, the current chaos offers a chance for our churches, especially small congregations, to simplify this Christmas. Our Martha Manikas Foster chats with Pastor Carl Vaders with Cornerstone Christian Fellowship in Orange County, California, to figure out how we can replace holiday stress with God's perfect peace.
I thought about you when I thought about this topic, because after many of us didn't gather for Christmas last year, you know, I was thinking we might be imagining this year as a kind of over-the-top Christmas cantata-filled, merry feasting and joyous gift-giving extravaganza this year. You know, something really big. But there's a lot of reasons that doesn't look possible now. So I have three questions for you, and I'll give you two right away. What are the advantages of celebrating a simpler Christmas, and what might a simpler Christmas look like?
Yeah, those are great questions. And I think you're right. We were all anticipating back to normal by now. Of course, this time last year, we were probably expecting back to normal by last Christmas. But who knows when that's going to happen. The bottom line is Christmas is just a really busy season, even long before COVID. I'm talking 10 years or more ago. I did an informal survey of our smaller congregation to ask, what do you dislike the most about the holiday season? And virtually everybody said the same thing. It's just too busy. Uh-huh. There were people who were double and triple booked on some Friday or Saturday evenings, you know, their kids thing, their business thing, their church thing. Mm-hmm. And so we looked at it and realized, what if we just experimented one year and just simplified everything? So that's the advantages of it. People are too busy, they need to slow down. So a simpler Christmas for us, we experimented and it worked. We did three things. First of all, we offered fewer events. Mm-hmm. We didn't do the big Christmas spectacular. And in fact, even some of the Christmas parties, we had a couple groups that decided to do the white elephant party. Some places they call it, I think, a Yankee swap, or mm-hmm. where you exchange kind of fun gifts. We did them in January.
Oh.
Because January is slow. And what we did was we said, bring that Christmas gift that you really didn't want. And everybody had a great time telling the stories about the aunt who thinks they're still 7, even though they're 27.
Right.
Gave them this little, you know, and it was hilarious. So there's some groups that do that. So they just move it into January, which is a slow season anyway. They get to have some fun reflecting on Christmas. It almost feels like it extends the Christmas season without it being rushed. So fewer events. Secondly, give people breaks. What we actually started to do was, we can't do it again this year yet, but we started offering parents' nights off, where on a Saturday night, we will watch your kids from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. You can go home and take a nap. You can go out and shop for Christmas. We do it for a nominal amount, and those who watch the kids put money towards youth camp or their account for a missions trip or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so we just simply give people a break. And then thirdly, we give them really simple chances to serve. So in our church, for instance, there's a local group that helps abused women and children, and we work with them on a regular basis. So what we do is we encourage our folks, when you're shopping already, whether it's in person or online, here's a list of items we want. We're also looking for gift cards, and we're going to give every single mom and their kids a tree and decorations that they can decorate. And for many of these parents and kids, it's literally the first Christmas tree that they've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're doing Christmas stuff anyway, let's just pick this up and let's bring it over to them. So for a minimal amount of work on our part, we get to be an extreme blessing to people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a way we've switched it from kind of entertainment into service.
For people who are going to have a hard time maybe even affording some of that, I hear some of the things that you're talking about are actually using their time, right? So
yes.
They're able to, let's say you can't do your whole church parents' night out. There's a possibility that as an individual people in the congregation, you could go ahead and go to your neighbor and say, hey, look, I know that you want to go shopping, or maybe you and your husband just need a night out. Maybe I can watch your kids. Could that be a way in which we could use it this year?
Absolutely. Yeah. Our church is the same as most smaller churches. You've got a handful of folks who can afford things financially and a whole bunch of folks who really can't. So in every one of these events, there's opportunities for people who have the finances to give, but even more opportunities for people who can serve in those ways. And like you said, that's a great way to be able to do it, to encourage folks. In order for it to be a good and God-blessed event, it doesn't necessarily have to happen at the church. It can happen, just as you said, where we encourage our own congregation members, ask your neighbors, let's just do a babysitting swap among three families that know and trust each other, and give each of the couples a night off by the other ones watching their kids for an evening,
mm-hmm.
and everybody gets a bit of a break.
And that's your gift to that family, right? Last year, maybe you tried to buy something and send it to them or leave it on their porch, and maybe years before, you've spent too much money on it. And here's something that you can believe that the other parents are going to find valuable, and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody talks about how we dislike the commercialization of Christmas while we're lining up to buy stuff.
Yeah, right,
so
right.
This goes against that without being a complaint. It's simply a positive alternative to it.
Let me take a moment and reintroduce this conversation. If you're just joining us, I'm Martha Menikas Foster, and I'm speaking with pastor, author, and small church encourager, Carl Vaders. Carl, my third question, and I think it's the most important question, is this. How can pastors encourage congregations to celebrate the advantages of a simpler Christmas? So you're speaking right to pastors. What would you say? What do you say?
Yeah, that's my sweet spot. I love pastors. I love encouraging pastors, especially in smaller congregations. I think there are really three keys to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the first one is the biggest key. The first and best way to encourage our congregations to celebrate a simpler Christmas is be an example of it yourself.
Mm.
Stop running around doing so many things. If they watch you running around, that sets the example and sets the tone for the entire church. You need to figure out ways to be an example, to slow down. quit adding so many events to the calendar and look around and go, what are some things that we can maybe suspend for a little while, give people a rest, give our volunteers and staff a bit of a rest, but set the example for yourself. Let them see you take days off with the family and just tell them, I'm not going to be available for this set of days because I have a family too, and spending Christmas with them is my first priority. Obviously, if some big emergency arises, you're going to be there for that.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, you're not going to be available. Set that tone for yourself. Be an example of simplifying. So that's the first one.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is put fewer demands on your workers and give them more space to relax. As an example, something that I think a lot of churches can do this season of any size, over the last year and a half, most of us have had to learn how to do live streaming.
Right.
And by now, in a lot of places, we're not necessarily doing that, or it's just in addition to our live service. But the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's may be a time to say, you know what, we're only going to do live stream, and you record it in advance, record it a couple weeks before Christmas, and then your entire volunteer team gets the week between Christmas and New Year's off. But you're still offering an opportunity for people to participate in a service by watching it online on that Sunday morning. It's a Sunday morning that a lot of people are gone anyway. It's really hard to pull a team together to do it well, typically.
Uh-huh.
So put it together when the team's together weeks in advance and give them a week off.
Uh-huh.
That's a huge thing. And then the third one is stick with really simple traditions. Most churches do a Christmas Eve service in smaller congregations at times, just so that you're aware and so that the small church pastors listening are aware. I am aware that in a lot of small churches, Christmas Eve and Christmas Sunday are actually some of the lowest attended Sundays and events of the year, not the highest, because mid-size and larger churches are often a draw for that. And in some smaller congregations, you have just a handful of key people leaving, but they're the people who are your musicians or your volunteers or your workers. And so it's really hard to put on a service that people want to come to.
Uh-huh.
So if that's the case, do it intentionally simple. Go back to the simple story. It may just simply be gathering the chairs in a circle, having the kids in the middle where they can play, retelling the Christmas story, giving each other a simple gift, and then going home. But keep it as simple as possible.
Yeah. Is there any other word of encouragement you might want to give to pastors of small congregations or large congregations as we're going into this Christmas that by necessity will need to be a little more simple?
Yeah. Let me encourage all of them. Your first emphasis and your first priority of ministry, especially during holiday seasons, is your family. Don't be running around so much being the pastor that you forget to be the husband or the father or the wife or the mother or the daughter or the son or the uncle or the aunt. That is going to be your first priority. So it's not that we abandon our church, but I think we serve our churches better when we have a healthier family. So that's where our emphasis needs to be all the time, but especially during the holiday season.
And that brings to an end our special Black Friday Noon Report. Our thanks to the entire Family Life News team for their contributions to this feature. And thank you for listening. We hope you're reminded the promise from the Prince of Peace to his believers that in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. Jesus has overcome the world. Enjoy the rest of your holiday week, and God bless you and your family. I'm Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.